sex and happiness.
Both enrich our lives, change our lives in ways that make life worth living. Yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to explore, learn about, and most importantly, have great sex. And in the process, she helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness.
Sex and happiness.
You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everyone. This is Lori Handlers, and you are listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Zestra, which you will hear more about a little later in the show. Zestra is a female enhancement product. Stay tuned to hear more about that. Today, my guest will be talking to us about sex is a game. He's actually a person who's into game theory. And so I want to know from you if you're a game player. And I know when I say the word game player, that implies that you're a manipulator and you might stab people in the back and you might not be up front. You might have a duality about how you deal with people. But I mean more like somebody who plays a game like tennis and knows that there are rules in the game and plays by the game of tennis, like understands that you don't even need a common language. You could go to Russia, play tennis with a Russian, never speak the same language, but you know the rules of the game. So that's the kind of game we're going to be talking about today, and we're going to apply game theory to sex. My guest is Lewis Harrison. He is a best-selling author and radio talk show host. He's a pioneer in success coaching and the personal development movement. He's the director of Lewis Harrison's Natural Healing Academy, as well as the Catskills Bed and Breakfast in Stamford, New York. And I might add that Lewis and I are dear friends and have known each other for years. I can't even count. So, Lewis, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
Thanks, Lori, and well, hi to everybody who's listening in.
Great to have you
especially,
on the show.
Especially you there, Steve, in Sacramento.
So, Lewis, game. Sex is a game. What do you mean? What does this mean? What is game theory?
Well, game theory is just about 2 minutes or less, so we don't sort of bog down around the word game theory. But game theory actually is developed by a man named John von Neumann in the 1930s. He was a mathematical physicist, part of those group, you know, Einstein. They were all familiar with game theory. And he developed the idea that you could look in the world in general, especially in the military and economics, as a game. There are players, there are rules, international law, there are judges, there are courts, there are cheaters. Most games have cheaters, people who cannot win the game by the rules, so they sort of break the rules. And so game theory originally really was a mathematical approach to seeing the world. It has actually won 8 Nobel Prizes. It's not a fringe idea or a New Age concept. Not that there's anything wrong with New Age concepts, but it really is a mainstream idea. In fact, it has won, as I said, 8 Nobel Prizes. And if you saw the movie A Beautiful Mind, that was about John Nash. And John Nash was the last person to win the Nobel Prize for game theory. So game theory is very popular among mathematicians and physicists. I developed something called Harrison's Applied Game Theory, which looked at human behavior, which, of course, is not mathematical. It's partly biology. It's partly genetics. It's emotional baggage and emotional health. Now, the kind of way that we choose to play games as humans tend to be much more emotionally driven. Even if we're very intellectual, we will use rationality and logic to support our emotional beliefs. And sex, of course, is both very simple and very complex, as I know and listeners know, I'm sure.
Well, I have to stop you for a second because a few things you said I have questions about.
Yes.
Right off the bat, and I don't want to get too far into this before I ask them to you. One is about, I wanted to just add that there's also the reptilian brain, which is part of the game, and that has people feel like they're in survival even when there is no bear.
Yes.
And then they play according to like a war game even when there is no real vital threat to their life in that moment. Is that, would you agree to that?
I will. May I add something to that without cutting
you? Yeah.
Off?
Yeah.
Yeah. So part of Harrison's, and I'm talking specifically about Lewis Harrison's applied game theory. I actually speak to people who are nominated for the Nobel Prize for game theory, and they know that this work is different work. It's not just human potentially fluffy. It's very, very specific stuff. So I want to give you a real description, including reptilian brain. I want you to listen and imagine that there's two long distance runners in Kenya. They're both barefoot, and they run exactly the same speed, but one of them has a little backpack on. So naturally, he's going to run a little bit slower than the first one. Would you agree?
Yeah, sure.
Good.
He has something to not only add weight to his load, but also to affect the wind, how it affects him. He has some leg that the other guy doesn't have.
Yep, you understand the game. Okay, they come. You mentioned the bear. So they come around a corner, and there's a bear there. And in traditional mathematical game theory, the mathematician would want to know, how hungry is the bear? Is it a male or female bear? How long ago did it eat? What did it eat? How fast can it run? Can you measure how fast it can run opposed to how fast the two runners can run to a tree and how fast they can climb the tree mathematically and wait at the time before the bear eats them? You got that? That's what a mathematician.
Yeah.
Now, in Harrison's game theory, this is what happens. The second runner opens the backpack and starts to put a pair of Nikes on. And the first runner says, you're a moron. You can't outrun a bear. And he says, I don't have to outrun the bear to win. I only have to outrun you.
Hmm.
Mm. So what happened? Yeah, I thought you'd like that.
Well, so I'm like, okay, but that means that he wins and he gets eaten by the bear.
The second guy does, not the first one.
Yeah.
The first guy with the Nikes, he runs a little bit faster than the other guy because he's wearing a pair of running shoes. So the bear gets the other guy. What happens in game theory is either everybody wins or you win. So if you're going to have to race against somebody else who insists on winners and losers, they will lose. Because if you are good at game theory, you either win almost every time or, and you will, I'll apply it to you to sex if we can do that.
Well, wait a minute. Before you go there, I had another question for you. This is a simple question, like a yes or no. The book by Hermann Hesse, The Master of the Game.
Yes.
I just had to bring that in because it popped in when you were discussing game theory.
Yes.
Does this book have anything to do with what we're talking about here?
I'm sure. I mean, the fact that he's using the word game and the term master of the game, in order for the title to be the game, there must be a game. So what that game is, I never read the book. I actually didn't read Sid Arthur or Narcissus and Goldmund either, though I know that Hesse wrote it. But
they're great books, Lewis.
I was in college trying to have sex with women who were reading Hesse. I mean, that was the point, you see. That was how I didn't win that game, by the way. But I realized how you win that game is by telling smart women they're beautiful and telling beautiful women they're smart. So, but that's
I love that, Lewis. But that's a good winning strategy. Maybe it didn't work for you, but
actually, it does work nicely.
Those were the things that were quickly on my mind: the bear and Hermann Hesse.
Young people, a young person can think of things in terms of games very easily because all they have to do is look at their iPhone, and what you see is apps, applications. For someone who's grown up in the technology computer generation, they see things in the way that you would watch a video game. But people who are over 30 or 40 do not do that so easily. They tend to see things more organically and process-driven. And because of that, they don't do well in games unless they get coached and trained. So, for instance, when I'm coaching a young person on game theory, it's a waste of time to even talk about game theory because they get it automatically. What I have to teach them how to do is how to make effective choices because they tend to be immature. But they understand the idea of you running your life like an application.
So it doesn't mean like what I was saying in the beginning, being devious or being Or being manipulative.
It doesn't have to mean that, but it can. Maybe if the woman you want to make love to really isn't that pretty. Tell her she's pretty anyway. Well, if she's not that smart, tell her she's smart anyway. And look, Billy Joel has that wonderful song. We all have a face that we hide away forever. We take it out and show ourselves when everyone else is gone. Some are satin, some are smooth, some are silk, and some are leather. They're the faces of the stranger, and we love to try it on. You know, we're all good people. We all want love. We all want abundance. We all want to make a difference in the world. We've all been damaged a little bit, either by society or by our crazy parents or by teachers or by that clergyman who diddled us when we were kids. And never got arrested for it. So we're
Really glad you mentioned that.
You know, we're all damaged in some way, and we're all illustrious, joyous beings in some way. And in the ways that we feel we need to survive, we will become a little devious. It doesn't mean we're going to hurt someone or damage somebody. It just means we'll tell them that we had a really great orgasm, even though we didn't, because we don't want to hurt feelings.
Right. Okay.
The game has nothing to do with being honest, dishonest, devious, not devious. It has nothing to do with anything. And in fact, the idea of a game says that there are people who will be cheaters at times. And when they get caught, they have to be responsible enough to pay the penalty. And if they don't pay the penalty, you kick them out of the game. And if you kick enough people out of the game, then there's no game. So you can't penalize people so badly that they all quit the game, and then you have no game anymore.
This is a really good place for us to take a pause. And when we come back, we will talk more about game, and then, you know, we'll get into sex as the game. I mean, just you saying, if you kick enough people out of the game, there is no game anymore. I differ with you, and I want to pick up there when we come back. I think there's a game on no matter what. So... So we'll be right back. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers, your host, and I am talking to my dear friend, Lewis Harrison, about game theory and how sex is a game. And I hope this piques your curiosity and everybody steps up to listen to this, because perhaps you'll get some tips to actually play better and have much more happiness in your life when we come back. My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show. We'll be right back.
Are you in pain or unable to sleep? Ever hear about how the body needs glutathione for natural cleansing? Could you use a boost of energy? Try Life Wave Patches. There are a variety of patches to choose from. Each one of them is designed like a small band-aid to help your body with the challenges of life when you're simply not getting what the body needs for support. And you can use these amazing patches on your pets. Go to Life Wave Patches for Pets and People on Facebook and see Suzanne Summers' interview with Dr. David Schmidt about patches that reduce stress and inflammation while increasing energy. You can also find out more at ValerieHandlers.com. That's ValerieHandlers.com. Or call Valerie at 714-928-6399 to order your patches, or consider becoming an independent LifeWave distributor. That's 714-928-6399.
Well, we are back with Sex and Happiness, and today I am talking with Lewis Harrison, who is a best-selling author and radio show host, and he does success coaching and personal development, and he's the director of Lewis Harrison's Natural Healing Academy, as well as the owner of a bed and breakfast in Stamford, New York. Lewis, when we left off, you said if you eliminate all the, you know, too many people, there is no game. But here's the thing. I happen to think that most people go through life creating a game as they go along and forgetting that they created it. And so then they do life like they're surviving life and they're surviving their game because they went unconscious about the fact that they created the game in the first place, the game called life.
Well, in a general, loose, metaphorical term, you're correct. But in Harrison's Applied Game Theory, what you're really saying is if you're playing baseball, you can't show up with an ice cream cone, a cane, a candy cane, and a Santa Claus outfit. You have to... You have to come with a ball and a bat and a glove. I mean, in a sense, you could say, you know, is there a sexual game that you can do without a partner? Yeah, masturbation. Is there a game that you can play on a computer that you think is sex and that people call sex but really isn't? Yeah, it's called computer sex. But if you're talking about the idea of game theory, what you're saying is we have agreed to a set of rules. And a set of rules, since the show is about sex and happiness, if I'm a generous person on the verge of codependency, but not quite, and I have a little bit of expectation, and you have a wonderful orgasm, and then you say to me, go take care of yourself, well, you're a cheater. You know?
Wait a minute. I just saw a cartoon about this on Facebook. It showed the top captions. There were like three in a row. There was a man and a woman. Then there was a man playing a video game on a computer. And then there was a man playing a video game on a computer with a woman giving him a blowjob.
Yeah.
And then underneath the second section, which was one big cartoon, was showing the woman sitting on the man's face. And she had the mouse in her hand and she was playing the video game. And she said, when I win at Mario, we switch roles, sucker.
Yeah.
So I just saw that, you know. So you're saying, okay, you give someone pleasure, and then they say, go do it themselves. They're a cheater because they changed the rules.
Well, not always, because there's a game called you're a sadist and I'm a masochist. Then, see, then there isn't cheating because you go, you came, where's mine? And you go, you don't get any. But if I'm a masochist and you're a sadist, then we're both playing the same game because I want punishment and you're punishing me by not giving me any. So the players have to agree on what the game is that's being played. And by the way, in relationships, you know, one of the problems that people have is they're playing a game, but nobody told them what the rules were. So they got married and expect they're going to have regular sex of a certain type or that they're going to be romantically in love for the rest of their lives or whatever they made up in their own head. When you're playing a game in game theory, you're saying to somebody, this is what I want, this is what I'm offering. And, you know, it's kind of crass in the sense that you shouldn't have to put every single thing down on paper. But sometimes you do. You know, it's really interesting. I'm going off a little bit as we knew we would. But this guy who was running for president, Herman Cain, the African-American guy.
Yeah.
And they said, this woman said, 30 years ago, he drove me home late at night in a car and he touched me without me, you know, asking him to. And I feel abused. And I'm saying, what guy 30 years ago in a car, 1 o'clock in the morning, driving a woman home, wouldn't touch the woman? And the question is, what did he do when you told him to stop? Well, he stopped. Well, what's the point? Maybe I'm not living on another planet. Back in the 1970s, no didn't always mean no. It's when rape drugs came in. I mean, I don't want to be politically incorrect.
You're making a strong case for clear communication, discussing mutual wants and needs, and boundaries. You're making a very clear case for which some of these are hot topics. These are very hot topics.
Some of my best stories, I mean, I'm 60 now, but some of my best 25, 30-year-old stories are the woman that said, no, and then gave me an incredible blowjob, you know. You know, and some of my worst stories are the woman that said, yes, and then when we got naked, I was going, no. So, you know.
Yeah, I understand. Well, no didn't mean no, and yes didn't necessarily mean yes. But these days, because of so much, I think, I'm just going to say, these days, because of so much sexual abuse or violation, there's been a whole new game.
The rules of the game have changed. They've added a three-point play, like in basketball. The rules of the game have changed. But right. I want to make a really key point here so that we don't end up having a really good friendly conversation without any, you know, where's the beef? Sort of a metaphor. But
I would never believe that you would leave me without.
So this is the key. The reason why you use Harrison applied game theory is because it maximizes your potential at the lowest possible cost. What does potential mean? Spiritual contentment, emotional happiness, freedom, and love. The more you can play the game of life more effectively, and the more you can communicate the rules more effectively, the more you are content. And you cannot make that up on your own. You need to get coached on how to play the game effectively. It's just too complex out there.
Okay. You're talking about how people can actually navigate the game.
Yeah, it's a playbook. It's a playbook like football, except your life is the game, not a 100-yard field.
Right.
For instance, not being sexist, Tom Brady, for those who are football fans, Tom Brady was the quarterback for the losing team this year in the Super Bowl. His beautiful, gorgeous, obviously not very bright wife, Giselle, after he lost the game, she did a press conference calling his teammates idiots, saying that he can't throw and catch at the same time. So he has to go back to camp next year with a bunch of players who his wife called idiots.
Yeah, that's not so good.
Yeah, so he should have had a communication with her call. Honey, you model and look beautiful and raise the kids and make a lot of money. I'll play football. Please shush. I'm not being sexist when I say that. I'm saying it is the game of being famous and being in relationship, being in marriage.
You know what, Lewis? I just want to say, you know, in terms of what you're sharing here on Sex and Happiness, don't worry about being sexist.
All right. Any women who want to have sex, call me. I'm easy to always call you the next day to thank you, and I won't even give you your number and my name. It's okay. There you go. So,
don't worry about it. But I want to come back to something you were talking about, politics.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading yesterday a blog. I think it's Sari Cooper's blog, which is about relationships and happiness and, I don't know, it's something about sexuality. She's a therapist in New York City.
What's her name?
And Sari Cooper.
Okay.
I was reading an old blog post of hers yesterday. She wrote something for Valentine's Day, and I kind of skipped ahead and went to something else, and it was about Newt Gingrich. And it was about him asking for his open relationship after he was already secretly in an open relationship, which had nothing to do with the terms that he and his former wife agreed to. I mean, that simplifies it, yeah? Like, if two people wanted to be in an open relationship, they would agree to that prior to getting married.
Well, not necessarily. They might agree to it afterwards, or he might say, if I can't do it, I want a divorce. Or she might say, don't tell me what you're going to do. Just do it. I mean, he's a cheater in general. I mean, it's just a word from game theory that happens to be the same name they use in marriage.
Yes.
You know, and the Bill Clinton thing. Let's switch from Gingrich to Bill Clinton. We don't know the agreements that Bill Clinton had with his wife.
No,
so
we don't.
The rule might have been you could put a cigar in anybody you want, anywhere you want, just don't embarrass me. She might have been mad at him, not because he put the cigar on the girl, but because he embarrassed her.
Right.
We don't know what the game was there. Gingrich is a cheater. He went after Clinton at the same time that he was having an affair. He asked for an open relationship with his wife when he was already cheating on her. He's just a scumbag asshole. Not for any other reason. Could be a liberal, could be a conservative. Doesn't matter.
Right, no, because we're not talking about that today. We're not talking about politics on the show. We're talking about game theory.
Right, and so in game theory, The winner, except for the fact that he got killed, is JFK, because he actually slept with an underage 17-year-old girl in the White House, and we still think he's a saint if you're a left-wing liberal. You see?
And some other not left-wing liberals think he's a saint as well.
Yeah, so my point is you decide what your game is, and you play the game as best as you possibly can. And if you're playing with other people who insist on winners and losers, you make sure you win and they lose and do it with compassion. But you try and play with people where everybody wins. Everybody gets to have an orgasm.
Yeah, I like that. That's great. That's a really good time for us to take a break now. Leaving people with everybody gets to have an orgasm. I don't know about you, but that makes me really happy even just thinking about it. So.
It makes me fantasize about having one.
All right, well, we're going to take a break here. I am talking with Lewis Harrison, who is a best-selling author and radio show host, and he also owns a bed and breakfast in the Catskills of New York, and he runs Lewis Harrison's Natural Healing Academy, as well as he's a success coach who uses game theory, human game theory, in his coaching. So we'll be right back and talk more about game theory as it applies to sex and happiness. Be right back.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Lori Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Lori Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
Hey, are you looking for the perfect vacation getaway this spring? Then look no further. Come to Portugal for a week with me. I'll be offering an exclusive Bliss and Ecstasy course April 26th to the 29th at Tipi Algarves, a lovely organic spa resort in the Algarves part of Portugal. It really doesn't get much better than this. The weather there is perfect. The place and food as natural as it comes, and the surrounding sites full of world history combined with spectacular beaches. This is the part of Portugal where the Mediterranean meets the Atlantic. Why not join me for this exclusive holiday? The Bliss Ecstasy course starts April 26th and completes on the 29th, and then you'll be exploring the local sites or relaxing on the beaches from April 30th to May 4th. I personally can hardly wait. For more information, write to me at sexandhappiness@gmail.com or go to butterflyworkshops.com and join me for an unbelievable exclusive vacation learning sacred sexuality in Portugal.
You're listening to Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and I'm pretty happy right now talking to Lewis Harrison.
You were pleasuring yourself while we were on break, Lori.
No, it does. I'm not that fast.
Oh, I am. Sadly.
By the way, there are some factoids that I talked about in another show, which are that it for men to be touched directly on their area of pleasure, on their penis, they would be happy to have it touched within 30 to 60 seconds within an engagement, let's say, a sexual engagement. But women, on the other hand, take about 25 minutes to warm up before they want anything really touched, like directly touched, before they want their clitoris or their vagina directly touched. Just a little known factoid.
30, 60 seconds? That long?
All right, so we were talking about sex as a game, and winning of the game and everybody winning being everybody being able to have orgasms.
Yes. Or actually, or everybody getting whatever it is that makes them feel loved in an erotic, sensual way.
Okay, so it could really be, wait a minute, it could really be BDSM, or it could really be...
Maybe somebody wants to have cigarette butts flucked at them when they're who knows? That's why it's called fetishism.
Yeah, but right.
With banana peels. Go for it, baby.
But, Lewis, you said that it isn't like the same thing as when you're looking at a computer. You did say earlier in the show that that's not a game, or that's not even sex.
Yes, but if you're in a room naked with somebody and they're flicking you with banana peels, well, that's not the same as computer. There's human interaction there.
So, okay, so now we're getting down to it. It requires human interaction, not human robot or human computer human.
For me, because you're talking about, I mean, you have to ask the question. It's an important question. And I'm not going to make a judgment about it because I don't want to be a robotist, you know, sexist, ageist, robotist. You know, maybe somebody can have an incredibly intimate relationship with a robot, but artificial intelligence hasn't moved to that point in the culture yet. So the question becomes, philosophically, can a person connect to humanity in the same deep, intimate way by masturbating, looking at a computer screen or with a rubber doll as they can being with another human being? I think not. I don't know what that's going to mean in 100 years from now when people have robotic arms, legs, and genitals. By the way, what's funny here is as I'm saying this stuff, my wife's in the background making comments, but she's not on the air. She's just back in the living room making comments.
Hi, Lily. That's okay. She's part of your game.
And by the way, Clarissa from that bar last Thursday, call me.
Wait a second, because I have something to say about that game when we talk about masturbation and people looking at the internet or whatever. Maybe they just have a great vibrator or a great dildo in their life. Here's the thing. The game growing up, at least when I was growing up, was that people really weren't supposed to touch themselves. They weren't supposed to enjoy solo pleasure. And so the rules of the game were, if you masturbate, you're going to grow hair on your palms. That was told to my Catholic friends.
Go blind.
Yeah, you'll go blind. So
get your hand pregnant.
Exactly. So now those games, those old games, have changed because with the advent of the freedom to be able to touch oneself and buy a vibrator, especially for women, to be able to go to, you know, online or to go to a store and buy something that will pleasure them, that will increase their pleasure, or at least allow them the ability to feel pleasure guilt-free, shame-free, in the privacy of their own home, with or without a partner, that changed the game. As did birth control pills change the game? Because women could now say no to pregnancy. They could decide when and if they want to even have sex or have pregnancy. So the games have changed. The game of sex has definitely changed.
Unless you go to a Catholic hospital and try and get contraception. But here's the question. I'm going to be Dr. Freud for 10 seconds. The question is, are you pleasuring yourself to rebel against your parents? Or are you, screw you, Ma, I'm not growing hair on my hands and I'm touching myself anyway. Or are you doing it because it's really more pleasurable than having a woman put her mouth around your penis or having a man gently pleasure your clitoris with his tongue? I mean, do you really rather want to play solitaire at home? I can't answer that question for anybody.
I'm glad that you can't, because I think the answer is different depending upon the person. And I also feel like, for example, in my courses on sacred sexuality, I give people homework where they have to self-pleasure for at least 21 days so that they even get to know their own body. And so they start to focus on just moving the energy rather than on their partner, whether their partner is doing it right or doing it wrong or whether this or whether that, also so that men can learn ejaculation choice. So there's a lot of reasons to self-pleasure. Also, you know, I don't always have a partner, and I want to have an orgasm every day. I feel that I should have an orgasm as often as I brush my teeth.
Well, I agree with you. And then there's that poor guy, Frederick and Phoenicia, who's in the Guinness Book of World Record for having the most orgasms pleasuring himself. And what it really wants is Clarissa from that bar last night to sit on top of him.
Okay, look, I understand what people want, and I think that most people, unless they have some extreme form of Asperger's, I think that most people would prefer to be partnered when they're having sex. Either they could be partnered or they could be multi-partnered or whatever. I think that people have preferences to be with another. It's definitely an experience worth sharing, and certainly an experience that does bonding no matter what their tastes are. I couldn't agree with you more. However, I feel like people should still have they should break the rules of the former game, which said they shouldn't touch themselves. They should cheat on that game.
Well, you know, there's an old joke that Rodney Dangerfield used to tell. And he said, some people are looking for lifelong, deep, intimate relationships. I'm just looking for a shallow half hour.
All right, well, let's talk about some of the ways that people could play the game and everybody wins in the game of sex.
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that you can do, this comes into something called social intelligence, which I am not very high on, by the way, and it's helped me a little bit. Sometimes you go to a woman at a tantra workshop, and she says, are you going to the tantra workshop? And you say to her, if you're a guy, actually, I'd rather just make love to you. And she'll either say to you, that's really disgusting, or she'll say, okay. And other times, you have to really court somebody, get to know them better, not think about sex, see how you can serve them, develop natural intimacy, and have them say, you know, I like you, I trust you, I'm comfortable for you, I'm tired of not making love, like, want to make love? In the game, you have to figure out, some people like to be told what to do, some people like to be asked what to do, some people would rather be celibate than superficial. Other people are less concerned with intimacy and just love being touched. They love that kinesthetic sort of interaction. So it really depends on what kind of game you're looking to play. And by the way, if you meditate, if you're a spiritually oriented person and you really think about who you are as a sexual being, you tend to see what the games are that you're really willing to play. Like, I know in my head there's a whole bunch of games I'd like to play, but I know in real time, I just really wouldn't do them.
Okay, that's being very honest and fair.
Yeah, it's like the person who would have a gay fantasy, but would never really actually want to have a gay experience. They love the fantasy. They just don't have an interest in doing it in real time.
Yes, I happen to believe, well, I don't know if it's a belief. I happen to know for myself that there are some fantasies that I've had that I played out, and they were much better when they were in my head.
Yep.
So,
I actually had one fantasy, which I'm not going to tell you what it is, but I'm going to tell you a very short story so people don't say, oh, what a jerk, not telling us. I had a woman who I was involved with about 30 years ago. It's a very short story. And she was a real libertine, was open. She said, make a list of the 10 things you always wanted to do with a woman that you've never done. So I gave her the list, and about 6 months later, a woman I did not know called me on the phone. I said, I've been given this list that you wrote down. Come to this address at this particular time. And, of course, I went to that address, and my friend and this other woman actually went through all 10 things on the list. And I can tell you it's the greatest night I've ever had in my life, and I still talk on the phone to the woman who made it happen. She's married. She has a couple kids. She has a pretty much sexless life, sadly. She married the marriage choice in terms of eroticism was not her best choice. But she's a generally content person, but we still talk about that night. So, you know, sometimes it's about making up a list of things no one would ever do for you that you just want to be nurtured a little bit. And sometimes it's about things that someone's never let you do to them, that someone will let you do. It's all wild and different.
Yeah, of course it is. Well, it's wild and as different as people's creativity.
Sure.
You know, and I'm glad that you had that, Lewis. If we had to take a poll of the listeners, there's something like 100,000 downloads now to this show. I wonder how many people could brag, and I don't mean to brag in the ego way, but could right. say, you know, wow, I wrote down a list and somebody actually looked at it, made arrangements for it, and fulfilled it.
Now,
what a great thing.
Here's the cup is half full and cup is half empty on that. If I want to have a cup is half empty, I could say that never happened again. Or if I want to say the cup is half full, I can masturbate every night remembering what happened.
Right. Very good, Lewis. I like the way you play the game. We're going to take a break here for a moment. When we come back, I'm going to ask you more about basically your coaching. I want everyone to know how they can get in touch with you before we leave for this segment. So people can get in touch with you through Lewis Harrison's AppliedGameTheory.com. Lewis, LewisHarrisons, AppliedGameTheory.com. And that's how you can find out about his coaching. When we come back, we'll find out more about the coaching, and we'll also find out about Lewis's Natural Healing Academy. So please stay tuned. This is Sex and Happiness.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Lori talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Lori's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Lori is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Lori sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Lori Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
How would you like to lose up to a pound a day with no exercise required, with no hunger, without being on a restrictive diet for the rest of your life, and no unpleasant side effects? If this appeals to you, you want homeopathic HCG. How do you get that? You go to hormonenurse.com. That's HORMONE. nurse.com. There you can find out about HCG and this amazing diet. It's a diet I've used, and I've lost an amazing amount of weight. I'm back to my college size. Plus, you'll find out about hormones, bioidentical hormones. Perhaps you need that too. You need it maybe for sleep, for sexual passion again, your libido. Go to hormonenurse.com. We are back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Lori Handlers, and I want to let you know that this portion of the show is brought to you by Sex Butter. And Sex Butter is an amazing new lubricant that you can find out more about. I'll be telling you more about that. Actually, I'll be interviewing Bonnie Gale on a short interview a little bit later in the show, so you can find out more about Sex Butter and why it's so yummy and why you might want to get yourself some. So I'm interviewing Lewis Harrison today, and we are talking about game theory and Lewis's coaching. So Lewis, tell us a little bit more about how you coach people in this game, like how you coach people to set up a game for themselves.
Yes. Well, unlike traditional life coaching, which is people go a half an hour once a week, this is unlimited coaching. People call me every day if they want. They don't have to, but every day between 9 a.m. and 1 a.m. in the morning. And they tell me, what is the end result they're looking to get? What is the experience of life they're looking to have? And then I will ask them how they think they're going to get it. And, of course, most of the time they're off track, because if they were so good at getting it, they would have had it already. So they let me know what their game plan is. And what I do is I tweak their game plan, and then I add different techniques, ideas, thoughts, and strategies that they can apply that will get them the result that they're looking for. And as they apply that, if they're motivated and they apply these techniques every day, they're going to run into some obstacles. And that's why I don't do that half an hour or hour a week like a therapist. That's why they call me anytime between 9 and 1, because I want them to call me and say, okay, I think I'm in love. I want to get married. The girl wants to marry, but I'm not sure if it's the right thing. Well, and I'll say, well, who's the woman? And I'll say, oh, it's a stripper I met last night at a club. Okay. Tiger, do not marry her. Just be her friend for now. What I am an expert at, and I'm saying this again without ego, you know me. I have a radio show, I've had many books published, I live in a beautiful home, I have a great marriage. Like all guys, I'd like more sex, but I have a great marriage. So essentially, what I have a skill at is not from book learning, but from experience on how to have a really successful life at very little unnecessary struggle. And that's what my coaching model is built around. And then people pay a flat fee per month for that service. And it's a month-to-month agreement that people do. So my clients are very successful. They move very quickly. They get the results they want. Very little fat in the process and very specific. And it's very logical, but it does respect emotion and intuition as part of the process.
All right. This sounds really good. So a couple things. One, first of all, you seem very available, like 9 to 1, like really get a life.
Not to be said, I'm as a coach, I'm so easy.
Well, when do you do what you're doing? When do you eat? You know, when do you play? When do you whatever?
My whole life is about writing game theory, eating, coaching, and masturbating. So, essentially what happens is coaching sessions tend to be short because people get a coaching play every day in their email. And they call me up on the phone if they need to, or they email me, and they say, okay, how would you deal with this? And those conversations tend to be very short, probably shorter than one of the segments of this show.
And then people take that out into their life. They apply what the coaching that you've given them. And for the most part, you're saying that they're developing tremendous success.
Well, yeah, you know, if it goes like, I'm going to be really superficial, so forgive me. If I plant tomatoes in the right soil and I water the tomatoes, what I'm going to get is tomatoes. I'm not going to get zucchinis. I'm not going to get rutabagas. That's what I'm going to get.
You know, so okay.
It's another Ronnie Dangerfield joke about bad choices. He said, you know, I went to this great bar. There was two guys there for me. The problem is it's two guys for every guy. It's a gay bar. You know, the point is you want to go to a place where there's two guys for every guy if you're straight or vice versa. So you have to make wise decisions, wise choices, know what you're looking for, know who you are, know your strengths, know your weaknesses, and then conserve your energy and act in balanced ways so that you can get the results you're looking for at the lowest possible cost.
And then how does everyone win? Would someone being coached by you tell someone that they were being coached by you and invite them into the game?
I would like them to. The more clients I get, the more I win.
I don't mean that, Lewis. I did not mean that. I meant, for example, Joe Schmo meets Glenda Groh, and he says to her, I'm being coached by Lewis Harrison, and Lewis is coaching me on game theory, and the game I'd like to play with a woman is called Love and Marriage. And then
they wouldn't do it that way. They would look at Glenda and say, is Glenda smart or is Glenda unattractive? But I want her. And then he'd say, like, well, Glenda's really sort of unattractive, but she seems kind of smart. Say, Glenda, you're really beautiful. And Glenda will say, man, I'm so tired of people telling me I'm smart. I've been looking for someone to tell me that I'm beautiful.
Okay, so I get it. She wins. Does he say to her, I'm in game theory?
She wouldn't know what he's talking about unless she's really smart. And then it would be a point of conversation. I'm going to tell you a story where I lost the game. Because okay. I don't want to sound like I'm a winner all the time. I'll tell you how I lost the game. Now, someone may say you were being honest, but I lost the game. Someone told me she had a, this is, of course, all these stories are 20 years old. I was at a yoga ashram and I had an interest in a woman. And she didn't have an interest in me, but she said, I have a friend who would have an interest in you. So I met this woman who was mildly attractive and a great lover. And we actually became lovers. You know, this one weekend, one of those, go to Philadelphia, I got lucky. If you're a guy, that's how you describe it. I got lucky. And she did the most exotic and erotic sculptures ever. And then she said to me, you know, what do you think of my body? And I said, it's great. And she said, no, really, really, be critical.
Now even I know that was a bad move.
Okay.
And I'm not a game theory coach.
Right. Now, if you don't want to be devious like I didn't want to, you just tell her the truth.
No.
Well, you're right, no. You see, so I played the game better at the time. I would have said to her, well, you know, you're a great lover, but you do have like a flat ass. needless to say, she screamed, get out. And I said, what I do? Get out. But you asked me, get out. And of course, I never saw or talked to her again. And, you know, now in my age, you know, playing solitaire all the time, I'd rather be with the woman with a flat ass than no woman at all. So
right.
I think that if you could say to somebody, I'm studying game theory, if you're looking to make love to a woman who's a mathematical physicist, and you say to that woman, guess what I do as a hobby? I'm studying Harrison's applied game theory, using mathematics and physics to apply to my personal life. You will get lucky so quick. But if you're talking to a secretary in a doctor's office, she's going to go, what? Is that related to Justin Bieber? It's like...
Yeah. All right, I get the point. I do get the point.
It's all about rapport.
Thank you. So now I want to ask you just briefly about the rest of what you do. You have Lewis Harrison's Natural Healing Academy. You've had it for years. What is it? What does it do? And how can people find out about that?
It's an online school where people study for a year, and they study in two key areas, natural healing and personal development. Personal development would include coaching, for instance. And a person gets a Socratic dialogue, a question and answer lesson, every day, 5 days a week, for a year. And what they do is they develop emotionally, physically, and spiritually, either for their own benefit or also to coach or serve others. And that's the basic concept. The healing program includes nutrition, herbs, hands-on healing, body work, Reiki, meditation, all the things that have to do with how a person heals themselves. And that's the basic structure. People do a year-long program, and they really get an incredible education. It's one of the top schools in the country of its type.
That's great, Lewis. Thanks for saying that and letting us know about that. I have actually delivered a few modules in your Healing Academy.
Yes.
So I know a little something about that, and I've been in on some of your classes. Also, your books. I said you're a best-selling author and you're a radio talk show host, so let's let everybody know how they can hear your show and also a few books. Maybe you could mention. How many books? You have 7?
9 books published with regular publishers and 3 that I've self-published.
Okay.
If you're interested in sexuality and touch and chi, tantra, Chinese medicine, things of that type, there's a book called Hands on Healing. And they can, of course, get those from me or in a bookstore. There's a book called Healing Depression Naturally, which has an introduction by Jack Canfield, who wrote the Chicken Soup for the Soul series. And if you're depressed or you have someone you care about who's depressed, it's probably the best book ever done on the non-pharmaceutical treatment of clinical depression.
We need that. Everyone needs that.
Yeah, and then there's a book called 30-Day Body Purification. If you want to get your body back in shape, there's a 30-day program of recipes and nutrition and herbal suggestions on how to do that. So those are 3 of the 9 books.
Great. Your radio show.
Yeah, the radio show streams. My show's going to be heard every Tuesday morning from 6 to 8 a.m.
On which coast?
East Coast, thank you. Okay. And it is on Thursday night from 6 to 7 Eastern Standard Time, wioxradio.org. That's streaming at wioxradio.org.
What's the name of the show?
Wake Up in the Morning and What Up Game Theory on Thursday nights.
So it's What Up Game Theory.
That's Thursday nights, and Wake Up is Tuesday morning. As in, okay. Hey, wake up at 6 a.m.
That's great, Lewis. Well, thanks so much for being my guest today. This game theory thing is exciting. It gives people a chance to feel good about the things that they want and need to do in terms of relating to other people, and they don't have to feel devious in it. It's actually applied thought and reason just the same way as people would play in a football game or play tennis or what have you. And I really thank you for that. It's very freeing.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Thanks for being my guest. This is Laurie Handlers. Thank you for being with us today on Sex and Happiness. Thank you to my commercial sponsors, of course, Zestra and my sister, Valerie Handlers, with LifeWave Patches for People and Pets. Also, the Hormone Nurse at hormonenurse.com, Laurie Phillips. And Sex Butter. How exciting. Sex Butter. So thank you for being my sponsors. And
I'm speaking today with Bonnie Gale, who is the co-creator of Sex Butter, a wonderful new female enhancement product that can be used by females and males. So tell me a little bit about Sex Butter. How did you get the name Sex Butter?
The Sex Butter, the product itself, actually looks and feels like butter and melts into your skin just like butter does when you touch it. And it's for sexual enhancement and lubrication. So I wanted something really direct that let people know what it was about.
Well, it sounds absolutely yummy.
It is.
Does it smell yummy? Does it have a taste and a smell to it?
Yes, it smells like dark chocolate mint, which I think is pretty yummy. And the taste of it, it has a kind of like a taste like coconut oil.
Oh, but the smell sounds wonderful. Dark chocolate and mint. How wonderful is that? When people use sex butter, what can they expect? Like, what can the woman expect? We'll start with her.
Okay, I apply it internally onto the vaginal walls and the G-spot area as well as the clitoral area. And it really makes internal orgasms easy and effortless. I mean, the sensation is just amazing. And there's a little surprise that comes out for those men who are not used to their women having internal orgasms that can be accomplished with sex better.
I like the idea of a surprise.
So do the men.
If men use it alone, is that okay too?
Oh, yeah, they can definitely use it alone. And the really amazing thing for men, they feel sensation even after they have orgasm. So the recovery time is really shortened big time.
It sounds like everybody should try sex butter, don't you think?
I think everybody should try sex butter.
How can people get sex butter? How can they order it?
We have sex butter in 1-ounce jars. Looks like a high-end eye cream, so people don't have to be embarrassed when they order it. It doesn't look sleazy or porn-like. So have little travel pack that people can take along. They can actually, each one can be used like up to 3 times.
How can they find out about it?
www.sexbutter.net.
Sounds terrific. Thank you so much, Bonnie Gale.
Thank you.
Please be sure to tune in next time when I'll be speaking with Margot Anand, the great goddess of modern tantra. This is Laurie Handler signing off for Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. And if you'd like to listen to podcasts of Laurie's previous show, Tantra Cafe, please go to tantracafe.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Want you to know.